from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Oh, what a weekend it was for Hideki Matsuyama. John called it late last week. He said this would be a great story if Hideki Matsuyama won. And I tell you what, after an up and down Sunday, at one point looked like he had blown it.
Yeah, got sweaty.
Fell behind by a stroke, even after having a 5-stroke lead. Looked like, you know, maybe it was going to be a really bad week. I mean, obviously you're going to finish, top two, top three, but you get robbed.
Yeah.
You have a 5-stroke lead.
Right.
Right?
You're starting to count that 3.6.
What was the P-U-R-S-E? 3.6.
Either winner.
That's right. So yeah, you were counting it up. So it's what you would have lost, right? After getting robbed.
And that's right.
We are thankful that robbery didn't occur in Memphis. You know? We're thankful for his safety and that of his caddy, which he didn't have. But we're also thankful that story, which has gone national, that it didn't happen here. It happened in London before he got here. He goes on to win. Fantastic weekend. I was watching on television. Memphis looked beautiful. I like to do that now. Now, you don't get Nance anymore, as you guys know. It was on NBC, was it not? Plus, Nance is, would he have still been, is he still on the golf? Yeah. Retired from college basketball, right? Anyway, Side note. Hideki, congratulations. Temporary caddy, congratulations, because he'll get a cut of that 3.6. You know, he's not here if not for the caddy, the real caddy, not having his passport stolen. And so, again, what a story that was. We're officially just 12 days out from the University of Memphis kicking off. I was over at Simmons Bank this weekend, sort of surveying the demo, and I'll continue to do that for you guys. We're going to get a sneak peek at Florida State on Saturday. I was just telling John about that. They've obviously got their first game against Georgia Tech. That's important for Memphis because you'll be playing Mike Norvell in a big one a little bit later on. I've relived the Justin Fields experience. Pittsburgh fans?
Yeah, rough.
Get ready. Because it's going to be him and ain't going to be Russell Wilson, at least from what I saw. Patrick Mahomes, GOAT. Memphis got a new strength coach.
That was ridiculous.
It was.
That was so ridiculous. I'm surprised they showed it in a preseason game.
The gall.
Man.
I don't care. It's preseason.
Now, if he does it in a regular season game, it's over. It's over with.
They've been working on it.
Clearly. They've been trying to hit it for a while, and they finally got a chance to hit it.
The gall.
Yeah. I mean, and then
Raiders played, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Prime time, Saturday night, man. Stand alone, late Saturday night in Las Vegas against Trey Lance and the Dallas Cowboys. It was the last game before Antonio Pierce made his big decision on who the quarterback for 2024 is going to be.
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
And he had some incredible...
Save it for us.
Play to work through from both quarterbacks. So what a decision that had to be, for him to figure out who it's going to be. So, yeah, anyway, we'll get into all that today here on the show. Jeff Cogg is going to join us at 125, moving him up. You know how this stuff
goes. The ultimate utility man.
The ultimate utility man, just there when you need him. So he'll join us at 1:25. Got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it. But it was a big NFL weekend, and I've got some things here I want to touch on with you, Jason. Let's do a little cap or no cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
All right, Caleb Williams is ready for the season. Is that cap or no cap?
I'm going to surprise you.
Ooh.
It's cap.
Wow. You are going to surprise me.
I have folks calling me this weekend, great, loyal listeners, saying they couldn't wait to hear what I had to say on Monday about Caleb Williams.
He was only supposed to play for a few drives.
Correct.
A few, maybe one or two series.
A quarter.
Yeah, a quarter.
And that was a result, and I thank that brother who called. He knows who he is. That was a result of some Patrick Mahomes-type stuff. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Scrambling all around the field.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
I mean,
dropped that thing in a bucket to Roma Dunze, didn't he?
Yes,
I got to eat my words. Oh. I got to eat my words.
Well, hold on. He didn't do any of the routine.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
What I saw was a guy trying to make a play on every play.
Mm-hmm.
And the key, like we've said, for Caleb Williams is going to be doing it on script. We know you can do that wild stuff, but it can't be the only thing you do. And that's got it. And surely it's a thing that they're drilling into him and drilling into him. And John, you saw it from the first few drives because you texted me. Like, it didn't look good. And so I would just say, look, listen, Bears fans, I mean, we're really trying to reserve, you know, our giddiness here and save it for the regular season. But what's clear is that if this thing's going to work like we think, there could be greatness there. But what he's going to have to master is the simple.
Yep.
Because that's how you get there. Get the simple stuff. Sprinkle in the greatness.
Yep.
And then you'll be on your way to being the franchise quarterback that the Bears never had. So I'm going to say he's not quite ready mentally, because hey guys, we got to remind Caleb Williams, just keep it simple. And I was seeing too much of that USC Caleb Williams. It feels like he's got everything on his back.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it's preseason, whatever. And there's a pressure on him getting the end zone. He still hadn't done that yet with his arm. He ran in. And so doing it on script is what Caleb Williams has got to get ready for come, you know, week one against the Titans. So I'd say he's not quite ready.
Yeah, now that's interesting that you bring that
he's
up.
He's holding on to the ball way too long. Right. Kuhn brought Gabe. It was 3 points something longer than Justin Fields last year. And so that's a result of him trying to make big plays in a lot of instances. I want to see more. 1, 2, 3, drop back, get it out of there.
Yeah. No, that's Cut. That's absolutely right. And, you know, I definitely do believe the electricity he plays with,
mm-hmm.
I mean, is
you can feel it. It runs through
right.
you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is undeniable.
Yeah.
It is absolutely.
That's there in a way that you've just, it feels different. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, it absolutely does. But past that, he is going to have to learn like how to manage a game,
mm-hmm.
right? It ain't going to be just, you know, this flash stuff. Because that will, in a regular season game, in some cases against good defenses, not work.
Absolutely.
You know, like he was getting, I mean, that is a second team defense, right? A third-team defense. So I don't want to go crazy. But, I mean, like, the other part of that is what makes him who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He will be able to do that.
Oh, it's
going to
be a part
that.
Of it, clearly.
Yeah, like, he will be able to do that, you know what I'm saying, against a, you know, an NFL defense. So he's just going to have to learn that, you know, over the course of his career. And he's going to make mistakes. That's the other part, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to have, you know, it's going to be like he's going to hold that football so loose with one hand, he's going to lose it. He's going to have some of those.
Sure.
He's going to have some picks.
He's going to take some hits.
He's going to take some hits.
Well, he thinks he can still run around like he's still in college.
Exactly. But he's going to be greater later. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely, Caleb Williams is not, I don't really worry about bust with him. You know, like, there's too much God-given talent. You know, it's It's the small things, like you said. You know,
My thing is too, is what we see, but then when the greats and I guess Tyreek Hill, he loves kind of being out there, but I retweeted him. When the greats are saying this looks like something great, that means they don't miss too many times, you know, because they know what the makeup, they know that's more than just a couple of flashes. They know what's gone into the mix to get him there. And you had Tyreek Hill over the weekend say, man, this guy reminds me of, and dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows who he's talking about because, yep. it's not Tua, who was, oh, by the way, pretty good. Really good over the weekend. I don't know if you saw the Dolphins, too. It looked really good. He's talking about Patrick Mahomes. And so when that greatness, you know, and Tyreek Hill, I would say that. I mean, he's played with greatness. And so I would say that about recognizing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the greats are saying, you know, this guy's got the right stuff. You know, now can you put the foundation, sort of make sure you've got that in place to go with it? You know, that means something to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he is.
Did you see Tyree tweeting? He wasn't. I'd say keep that in house.
Right.
Then Tua goes out there and plays really well, but he wasn't talking about his quarterback. He's talking about his old quarterback when he said Caleb Williams looks like. I'm paraphrasing, but that
right.
was essentially the tweet.
No, I mean, look,
it sent folks crazy. It sent Bears fans nuts.
That is. I mean, that is the comparison.
Including your own. That's coming from a dude who played with him.
Right. That is the comparison. I mean, you watch him for, you know, has he not said that he models his game after him? Yeah. So, like, I mean, it's not, like, accidental. It's by design.
But I would say don't be Patrick Mahomes, be Caleb Williams. You get so caught up in being Patrick Mahomes, like it looked like for a time, you know, maybe you felt a little pressure getting the end zone, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I love the decision by Eberflus. It's the first time I've really thought, okay, that's good coaching for
right.
him to keep him in.
Yeah.
You don't like what you saw the first three? Play him.
Yeah.
Tell me why Atlanta wasn't playing Penix. Good Lord. Did you see that?
Yeah,
Raheem Morris made the decision not to play Penix. you got Kirk coming off of an Achilles.
I do know.
And
because
Penix is a finished product?
I bet Baltimore, as soon as I saw the news, is a pick 'em. They had been bet to a pick, and they won by one.
Didn't make much sense. So I'm glad Eberflus had the you-know-whats to keep him in there.
Yeah.
You know, forget that you got scripted one quarter. He's looked terrible. The offense has looked terrible. This is against twos was the other thing. Get in the end zone. Finally, they did.
Yeah.
So I'd say there's more work to do.
Exactly.
I bet you probably expected all getting this. But we need to keep it real in terms of what we see because Lord knows there's going to be you're going to get smooth, probably going to get out of character at some point this season.
Yeah, no, I was texting you, like, if that, like, let's just say that that was in a Raider uniform, right? That, like, the shot to Adunze was happening in a Raider uniform.
And he dropped it in there.
I mean, I would be relentless. I would be absolutely insufferable on Monday and for every day because, like, it's just that kind of ability does not come along, you know? And again, it was a second team defense, but it's just like, That's what any fan wants, right? Like, you just want to believe that all, two rookies connecting like that on a big play, like this, like the ceiling is the roof. You know what I mean? Like,
Thank you. I hope so.
It's almost hard to quantify.
Was it Emmanuel? I'm so scared about the crowning too early. I think it was Acho too that crowned us. Told us Bears fans, y'all got something. Retweeted him. Almost it made me emotional.
Yeah,
does feel like it feels different. But let's see what happens come, September 8th,
yeah.
when you're out there against Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin has not had a losing season since, 176 A.D.?
Ever.
The Steelers will not come close to the playoffs.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's whether Justin Fields can get him close, because Russ won't. I see. What I saw from Russ, I watched it closely, was a guy who doesn't want to get hit. Remember, Tom, you know it at the very end with some of these older guys. You start to sense that. And, you know, Russ was on script, but he got sacked. I mean, you just see it. You see a limit to what they can be offensively. With Fields, you saw him. He's run. They didn't score any points with Fields there, but they're getting up and down the field. Feels like the Bears. Feels like his time with us. That's why I relive that experience. You see the athleticism. You see flashes. But you don't get any points in the end. And so it's a bad deal. The good thing for for Pittsburgh, I mean, if you want to call it a good thing, is that they're not spending anything on these QBs. I could argue it's a bad thing. It's essentially a throwaway year because you've stuck yourself with them. But you're not stuck with them. You can move on. They will need to. They'll need to. because I don't see any signs of Justin Fields changing from what he's been. He's a guy who can run all over the field. What's he got, over 2,000 rushing yards already on his career? But he cannot, for whatever reason, you know, sustained offense management, those kinds of things. He hasn't shown he can do it on a consistent basis. And so for those reasons, I think the AFC North is going to go from best division in football to giving it up to the NFC North, because I think Sam Darnold and the Vikings will be better, that situation, as probably the last team in the NFC, even if they're the third and the Bears are the last team.
Right.
Being, that's going to be better than what the Pittsburgh Steelers are, who, no, John, will not challenge for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I agree. It looked really bad. I don't know that it could have looked worse, quite frankly. That was the Pittsburgh Steelers starters. I mean, that was them. And Mike Tomlin said before the game, coming into the game, that we are all in on this game. Like, we need to show who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And it was 9-3. Now, there was some talk that Sean McDermott was playing some specific defenses, you know, some regular season defenses. So he was showing what he had defensively. Yeah. But, like, isn't that the whole point? Like, the whole point is, you know, like, is this what it's going to look like? Okay, regular season offense, regular season defense, and you guys mustered 3 points at home against, you know, a Bills team that didn't play Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen was supposed to play. Then it started raining and storming. Then he changed his mind, did Sean McDermott, and went with Trubisky as the starter, and you lose 9-3. So it's incredibly concerning. It just kind of looked like more of the same with Russ, right? Like, it kind of looked like 2 years ago with Hackett there in Denver. You know, that's what it reminded me of. Like, he was tentative, like you said. He didn't really let the ball go.
That's the thing. He was 8-10, but he wasn't letting it go.
Yeah.
He's not trying to get the ball downfield.
Yeah.
He missed Pickens on an easy one that you would normally throw. Orlovsky was showing it on film this morning. Just the routine and the simple. And in a game like that, you needed to show it, because you needed to show Tomlin, I'm the guy. I'm better than just Justin Fields. Yes, his ceiling might be higher. We don't know what he is yet completely. Y'all know what I am, and he needed to go out there and show that he could do the routine and move that offense up the field, that he's the veteran. He should be the pick. He didn't do that. And so that's why I'm saying, if you put Russell Wilson in there, your run game is dead because he's not going to go down the field. The one thing we saw from Fields, you could have him in offense and have a nice running game. The Bears always had that. They're going to be forced into a position where they got to play Fields, because it'll be that. We think maybe he still can be. With Russ, it's over. You know what he is.
Yeah. No, I think it is. And obviously that division does not get any easier with a healthy Joe Burrow, and the Baltimore Ravens already there, and the Cleveland Browns, of course, are...
I would think on the way up, all right? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, I think all... I think
surely the quarterback play will be decent.
So I think Pittsburgh's going to finish last in the division.
That's without a doubt. Will they be better or worse than Minnesota? Because that's the back end of the North. That's what I'm saying. There's going to be a handing off, I think, as Pittsburgh comes out of competitiveness this year of best division in football to the North.
Right.
Detroit, Green Bay, Bears are going to possibly vie for a playoff spot. Minnesota could possibly vie for a playoff spot.
If you believe in Darnold, I mean, I think that's the question, right?
Yes, that's the question.
Darnold, I would take over Russ at this point.
Your boy Adam likes him.
Yeah.
He likes Darnold in that offense.
I think Minnesota can be pretty good. Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. They'll just, whether they're a playoff team or not, set that to the side. They'll be better than Pittsburgh, which is going to wallow in this all year long. Quarterback play is going to hold
them back. It's not today, but in a year or two, potentially, the AFC South has a chance to be the best division in football, just because the quarterbacks, right? I mean, AR's got
to pan out.
Yeah, so he's got to pan out, and Levis has to pan out. But if those two do, I mean, that one is going to be...
Well, yeah, you're still waiting on two there.
Yeah.
If Pittsburgh goes out and gets Dak, boom, their AFC North's back to being the best.
Yeah, that's true.
And I hope Dak is watching how desperate a situation that is in Pittsburgh.
I hope Brandon Ayuk is watching.
I mean, the way he's been talking, have you seen lately? Sounds like he wants, like he's might re-sign Dak instead of hitting the open market. Is that smart? Doesn't feel like it to me, but who knows, man? Maybe he just loves being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
He might, but if I'm Brandon Ayuk, there ain't no way I'm going over there. I mean,
no.
Like, dude, I'll just take less and stay in San Francisco.
All day.
Because I'm going to be miserable in Pittsburgh with that verticality.
At least for a year.
Yeah, man, that's a mess. I mean, I'm not saying that Brock Purdy is perfect, but we know that he could at least get the ball out and he can push it downfield, Well, Russ is washed.
Justin would have to show me something he still has not if they're not going to be moving on from the two of those quarterbacks after this year.
Yeah. All right. You won't know exactly what I'm talking about here, but ESPN is disrespecting Memphis cap or no cap. I'm going to explain. So up at ESPN.com, they have this brand new, like, playoff predictor.
I tried it. It didn't work. It didn't, yeah.
All right.
Did it work for you?
Well, it did work. And here's what you need to know. One, there are 24 teams that they have listed, right?
Yes.
None of them are Memphis.
I know. They're using that FPI.
None of them are Memphis.
So it's UTSA, is it not?
Yes, they are. That's exactly right. They are using the FPI.
There you go.
And UTSA is the last team on this deal. Now,
no higher American team, right?
Correct. Yes. Boise State's there.
Right. No Tulane.
But no higher American team. Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, the FPI is really who's disrespecting Memphis. But let's play a little game.
It's computer.
Let's say that Memphis and UTSA both have a 16% chance, just as the AAC champion, right? They have the AAC champion as UTSA. We'll say it's Memphis.
They got a big one against Texas. Memphis got a big one against Florida State.
Perfect. Yeah. So let's actually, and they play Texas State. Memphis plays Tulane, right? So their three hardest games are Texas State on the road. Memphis plays Tulane on the road. Those are comparable. They play Texas at Texas. Memphis plays Florida State at Florida State. And then they have, of course, the game at home against Memphis. Very similar, right? At Tulane for Memphis, at Florida State for Memphis, at UTSA. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the likelihoods here. We're going to say UTSA beats Texas State, just like we were going to say Memphis beats Tulane.
I think we're about to argue again.
Are we saying that? Go ahead. Are we saying that UTSA beats Texas State?
Yes.
Okay. Just like we would say Memphis beats Tulane.
Yes.
All right. So then we're going to say...
Even though that's at Tulane.
We're going to say Texas beats UTSA, of course.
Beat down.
And we're going to say that Memphis loses to Florida State.
Not beat down,
but loses.
Yes.
And then we're going to say that Memphis...
Great exercise.
And then we're going to say, in this case, because we're trying to figure out whether Memphis would be in, we're going to say that UTSA, in this scenario, wins the game against Memphis, only to see would UTSA be in the scenario, right? Because, again, we're using this exactly... Because we don't get a chance to play this game for Memphis. You see what I'm saying? We would say Memphis if we had the Memphis chance.
Yes.
But we're going to say the UTSA wins this game, goes 2-1 in their big ones with the loss to Texas. We're going to say...
They're 11-1.
Right. So Memphis, in this case, would be 11-1. Right?
Yes.
No, they wouldn't if we... What I'm trying to say...
You got two L's.
Yes. What I'm trying to say,
though,
to UTSA, is that the only way we could see if we can replace UTSA with Memphis... is if we say UTSA beats Memphis in this game, in this little predictor.
Sure.
Because we can't.
Because you're saying they have the same percent chance.
There's no Memphis
right,
for us to do this exercise with.
Which is silly.
So here's the deal.
They should have put at least, they would have included Liberty and all them, include more conferences and more get more clicks.
So then we're going to say that UTSA would win the championship of the AAC.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
Okay. And so if those things all happen.
Does that make them then 12-1, right, with two wins over Memphis?
They would be, according to ESPN, they would be a 100. That team that does that is a 100% playoff team with a 77% chance of getting a first round bye.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, that's what it says.
No, you're not getting a first round bye.
There's no way, right?
No, because if you're anything lower than, I think it's 12. I read that. Yeah, I think I've read this back about our, you know, this new college football playoff format. If you're anything ranked below 12, you go in the rankings, the CFP's rankings.
They got UTSA.
You go
as
to
a
12.
Four seed.
Yeah, that's not happening, bro.
I'm like, yeah, there's no way. But so what you would, so I don't know how it would work, but you would basically, that the 12 seed.
You will not. The top four will get by.
You're right. The 12 seed would
five
be.
5 through 12 are playing.
Exactly.
And if Notre Dame is the highest ranked, they'll be 5, right?
And that's right, yes.
And that's the highest Notre
Dame. And that's
Dame
who you are most likely to play, is Notre Dame. So even though ESPN says you have a 77% chance at a first round bye, I think there's no way that that's true, right? Like, this is clearly broken.
There's no, again, they will not, UTSA won't be that highly ranked.
It's or
the,
Memphis
it's the
or
four
whoever.
Highest ranked conference champions.
Right.
There's no way Memphis or UTSA will be above one of those four.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying
exactly.
In the rankings?
No, I agree. No way. I'm just telling you what ESPN is saying.
Right. The computer is crazy. The computer is what's got ESPN off here. And that's what Heather Dinich is going with and everything. Because the computer says UTSA, by virtue of having its game against Memphis there, is gonna run the table in the AAC.
Yeah.
Because it's going to win every other game.
Let's do this for Boise State and see what they say about Boise.
Now, Boise, they made their quarterback decision, which is important for Memphis as well.
All right, so let's say Boise State at Oregon. That's going to be Oregon. At home against Washington State, I think we probably got to give the nod to Boise.
The key for them is that they got to win those two. Was it Washington State and Oregon State?
And they get them both at home. So I'm going to give them
advantage.
And then,
Memphis did not catch a break with the three roughest being on the three toughest conference games are on the road, but also the other break that UTSA does not play Tulane.
That's right.
Is a huge break for UTSA. It's another reason why computer is spitting out that they will go undefeated in the AAC.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't believe it, but that's what this is all based.
If Boise State goes 2-1 in their toughest games and wins the Mountain West Conference Championship, they will be in.
Here's what I read from one thing from whether it was Dinich or one of them.
Like, this thing is saying 100% chance.
I understand what the computers are saying. But because if Memphis could run the table, and because those three victories would be on the road, that you might get more clout for that. You understand what I'm saying? Those are road wins. And if Tulane holds up its end and is decent and USF is decent and you're beating a good UTSA team, again, on the road, do you understand? That will stack up better than what Boise State has done in conference. And then the two extra games with Washington State, Oregon State at home. You buying that? Do you see? I did read that this preseason.
Yeah.
That there is a chance, again, because of Memphis's schedule, whereas this having the three toughest helps you. If you win them, if you go out and win the road games, that will be better on paper than Boise State winning those games at home. You have to win it. There's no margin for error.
I think that's probably...
That's how you can metrically be ranked higher, perhaps. But it requires some out of your control because you need Tulane and you need South Florida to hold up their end of the bargain and be top half of the league, really top four-ish teams in the league, and you need to beat them on the road. And that's where it can be a double-edged sword. It can actually be a benefit to you if you can do it.
Right.
But we said it can also take you out.
I think that's probably true, but I don't know that for a fact. It's
the only way. If Boise State does what you say it's going to do, it's the only way you could still possibly edge them in terms of the College Football Playoff Committee's ranking and being the best champ outside, you know, group of five champ.
Yes. But it's interesting to play with the numbers here. And I wish we would have had Memphis on here. I mean, the computer's like UTSA.
Well, you found a glitch right there because there ain't no way in heck that UTSA is going to be four. So you found a glitch in the system.
Here's a worse one.
In their AXI.
Here's a worse
XAI.
One. I have Boise State going 2-1 in those games, losing to Oregon, and they have, and winning the title game. They have Boise as a 3 seed.
See, it's because the rankings won't allow us, the group of five teams, to move up that high.
Right.
You understand that?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Even if they've got multiple losses, which they won't.
I get it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm just telling you what
you've
ESPN
really doesn't want to hear because you're blowing a hole in this whole exercise with how silly that is. See what I'm saying? They're allowing the computer to treat them like an equal when they're not.
Right.
And the CFP ranking committee won't treat the group of five teams as an equal either.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the Big 12 champ here. I guess they're saying that
from what you're telling me, that's what I'm gathering.
They're saying that the Big 12 champion is Arizona as the 11. I mean, there's no way. There's no way that the Big 12 champion is going to be the 11 seed.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to believe there's a day where the Mountain West or the American is getting that much respect.
So that they've got Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, and Florida State as the top four. Why would Arizona not be the four in this scenario and Florida State be the three? You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the Big 12 is going to be, you know, the fourth.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way that works. And then, you know, you'll go from there. So, anyway, it's a stupid little computer game, but, you know, it's fun to think about all the different machinations. 200,000 simulations.
I couldn't get mine past the second round. I don't know. Maybe I did it too early this morning.
Yeah. So anyway, There you have it. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Respect Burgers, 1 o'clock. Jeff Calkins, 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
ESPN. Blacktop Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis. They're the best. Call them. 316-6196 is the phone number. Got to get that move taken care of. Got a lot going on. I remember those days. I don't know when I'll move again. I'm sure I will. And when I do, I will call Blacktop. Get on the schedule. 316-6196. They're going to show up on time. They're going to stay on budget. They're the best in the city of Memphis. They can do it cross town, cross country. It don't matter. Call them. 316-6196. It's Black Time Moving. Change and move in the city of Memphis. Call today. All right, we're back.
Hour number one. Yeah, again, you got Respect Burgers coming up at 1 and Jeff Calkins at 125. Plenty of ways we could go here, but I thought we'd do this because I found it very interesting. And I didn't get John's side. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. 2 days ago, we were asked by a listener. Calls himself the ugly child. Now, that's not me. That's what he calls himself on Twitter. And he asked us a very Memphis basketball question that I don't think we had ever considered. So when I got it, I really put some thought into it, and I responded. Now, John was tagged. He did not respond. Mm. You're not much on interaction over the weekends, are you?
No.
So
I'm not much on interactions anymore, period.
So, ugly child, just know, reach out. One of us is coming back. Yeah, if you'd hit John during a weekday,
yeah,
he'd have responded. Here's the question. Who were the fans tougher on? Joe Jackson, obviously, or A-Lo, being Alex Lomax? And this came after, and it was a tweet that you liked. Hitman Hoops had put out a Really, it was a Joe Jackson appreciation tweet about him, you know, being one of only two Tigers, 1,500 points, 500 assists, 175 steals. That was a few days back. Love Hitman Hoops and the work that he does. And I'm also, you know, I put a like on that tweet as well.
Yeah.
But he quote tweeted that and asked us the question, who were the fans tougher on, Joe or A-Lo? Now, before we get your answer, do you mind if I give you mine and you wax off that?
Yeah, sure.
See if you like where I'm at. See if you agree or not. I said A-Lo, and here's why. Some folks called A-Lo sorry, said he shouldn't be playing. Joe's time on the floor was never questioned. Whether Joe was living up to the hype, how he was being used by Josh was scrutinized, criticized, yep. But these folks bullied A-Lo. Was a shame, really, I wrote. And he stayed Memphis through it all. Remember A-Lo's dad?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how tough a time it was there for a while, what he was hearing around the program. He wanted A-Lo to transfer.
Yep.
Now, that said, Joe did come close to transfer. I want to say not once, but twice. And so, there, you know, in this, the ugly child pointed out, this gentleman pointed out how, you know, Joe got close too, and maybe whether that was a result of the fan scrutiny, whatever else, that he too got close. Well, he got close to transfer. And whereas with A-Lo, I don't know that we ever got close. Dad sort of expressed his opinion. But A-Lo seemed to stay Memphis through it all. Again, remember, A-Lo was being questioned, was it favoritism because he's Penny's guy going back to East? Is that why he's on the floor? Joe's time on the floor was never questioned.
And right.
So that's why I'd say, you know, people really questioned whether or not A-Lo was worthy of being here.
Right.
As Memphis as he was all the way through it, as much as he, you know, in the won games defensively, whatever else, but was limited offensively, and it seemed like a portion of the fan base held that against him his entire career. So much to the point they said he shouldn't be out there, he should be recruited over. But I chose A-Lo for those reasons, because Joe's talent was never really a question. How it was being utilized was more the question.
Mm. Yeah, I agree totally. You know, you almost, and I've had this conversation quite a bit. It's funny, I do want to say this, I don't think he'll care, but after that highlight tape came out, you know, Hitman Hoops put it out.
Yeah.
Josh texted me.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Josh Pastner texted me. And I just, again, I don't think he minds, but he said, Joe was very, out of the blue, he said, Joe was very good, tremendous career. I said, well said. He said, give Joe his due. I said, I do often. We do often on this show. I think he was in my top 14, maybe, top 12 of
respect.
My top 25,
yep.
Which, I believe me, I know was a disaster outside of that. But, yeah, I mean, I think what A-Lo ran into was more of the stubbornness of his coach than anything else.
Well, I would say that about Joe, too, though.
Yeah.
The first 2 years.
Yeah, I mean.
And trying to make Joe, and Josh would tell you, because I'm trying to get him prepared for the NBA. And it was a real reason, but trying to make Joe the pass-first prototype, you know, one, point guard, pass-first. Joe was a scoring point guard.
Right.
You know, and sure, maybe a veteran coach tries to do the same thing early on with Joe, because you want to help him make it to the NBA, and you tell him, dude, it's going to be critical for you at your size to be a pass-first point guard, like I had to set folks up. But I think a veteran coach, this is where I'd go, would have understood very early on, okay, that's not what he is. And I'm trying to win college basketball games, and yeah, I'd love, so I'm going to put him more in an Iverson role. Just, again, not Allen Iverson, but in that role. And Josh held on too long, I would say. And by that third year, And get Josh is credit to him. They figured out. But Damon too, Damon Stoudemire, they just let Joe be Joe, and that's
right.
when the percentages went up and everything else. And they, so a lot of times they'd have another point guard out there with him. And so I would push back. I'd say Josh's stubbornness early on, and most of that are probably a result of inexperience.
Because
I think there were good intentions. You're trying to get them in the NBA. That's right. But you needed to recognize earlier on that. It you know, that wasn't the best route, both for Joe individually for the numbers, but
yeah,
more so for the team as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, they're both coaches were stubborn in there. I just think the stubbornness with Penny was he was starting A-Lo when it clearly.
Oh, I know what Penny's was.
Like, he wasn't. He probably shouldn't have been starting, as opposed to Joe, which is out of position, had the ability.
Yeah, A-Lo's a roller coaster, in, out, in, out. Yeah. And then there were times, yeah, where it felt like maybe somebody else should be in.
I don't know, though. I mean, I think Joe, I would my answer would probably be Joe in terms of the ire from the fan base because, like, his career was undeniably really, really good.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Like we just said, he's one of the, you're up there yeah. in a sentence with Elliot Perry, and it's just you and him.
And yet it feels like.
In terms of accomplishment.
Yeah, it feels like the fan base doesn't believe that. It feels like, and they might. But it just, as a, you know, if you just like, how does the fan base feel about him? Is it, they don't feel the same way about Joe that they feel about EP, for an example, right? There's a very different, you know what I'm saying, relationship. Now, part of that is Joe is not as involved as EP is today.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
You know, so
as visible.
You're trying to separate right. a lot of things, right? EP had team success. Joe really did not. Joe did not have that run in the tournament. Joe did not have that, you know, moment in March. You know, he had the El Paso.
Did EP make the tournament, though?
Did he not?
I think Joe might have had more tournament success than EP did.
I would not have thought he didn't make the tournament.
No, I'm just trying to remember those teams. Well, it seemed like it was because he missed Penny by a year.
Okay.
But I don't know. He probably had a tournament, too. I don't remember any. I remember conference championships.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right. I guess he didn't have that run either.
But I don't remember any deep runs and maybe an appearance, but I'm trying to remember Elliot Perry in a tournament game.
Yeah.
Anyway, set that to the side. Both were oft criticized, and a lot of Memphis point guards over the years, you would include Andre Turner in this exercise as well. Now, again, the thing that changed was the advent of social media, and Joe caught a little bit of that heat and how it wasn't just Memphis and the newspapers and what you heard at the community center and everywhere else, right? Once it got to Joe, they could reach out nationally and criticize you.
He had 1 year where he made the second round.
1 year.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty similar team success then. So I guess a part of it is just, you know, Joe comes in with these just outsized, massive, you know.
I mean, he came in McDonald's All-American and.
And yeah.
Same class as Kyrie, I think. Is that true? Or is that off? Those years have been
about
right.
The same, or Kyrie might be a year younger.
Okay,
but I think you're.
I don't want to get distract you, man, from your point there.
Yeah,
I can find that.
I don't remember exactly. I know didn't they play against each other in high school?
I want to say they did at some point somewhere.
Yeah, so Kyrie was in the 2011 draft, so that would have meant he was the class of 2010 for high school. So he and Joe.
Yeah, he was number two.
Yeah,
you know who was number one in that class?
2010?
Yes. Kyrie was number two.
Harrison Barnes.
That's correct.
Bang.
Can we give John a ding
Bang.
On that one? He pulled, I mean, without hesitation, really.
Bang.
Without hesitation, really. How far did Joe drop down? Remember there was a drop at the end.
He was in the 20s, right?
They dropped him to 19.
Yeah.
At one point, he was top 10.
Yeah.
Joe Jackson was 19.
For no reason, by the way. So, I don't know. I think my answer would be Joe, just because, like, there should be, like, I think a little more reverence than it feels like there is for him. Again, I understand he was more reserved. He's not really involved in the university today. But it's like people are almost a little disappointed by him, and I don't really feel like that is fair. And with A-Lo, it's like, you know, A-Lo was just limited. Like, he was never going to be, you know what I'm saying, like, an All-American point guard. He was good for what he was, but it wasn't like there was no pro potential. There was no McDonald's All-American. There was no, like, you know, he's just solid. He's a solid floor general, you know, who you don't ask to do anything offensively. Like, that's kind of how it was. I mean, he, you know, good guy to have on the team. That's about where I would – he'd be a great point guard to have in a pickup game, you know. Like, he just wants to pass the ball and can get by all the defenders.
Bro, he is cutting the pro-am up. Look at the highlight.
Yeah, I mean.
If he had shot it like that here, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Dude, he's running back down the floor like he's Steph Curry, doesn't even wait on the three to drop.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean.
His best basketball came after Memphis, unfortunately.
Who do we blame?
It appeared. His best offensive basketball, his best shooting.
You hold A-Lo closer than you hold Joe, and I think you need to examine why. I mean, you used to
how
be
could
a Joe.
I was in locker rooms after NCAA tournament losses with Joe.
Right,
what'd you come out?
You changed.
I didn't cover A-Lo that
you
closely.
Changed. You forgot where
who,
you came
who
from.
Who was number 12 in that class 2010?
Number 12?
That's an easy one.
Will Barton.
Yes. Give me the top six. No, that's asking a lot.
This is 14 years ago.
Who was going to Tennessee that year, five-star, number six in the country?
Tobias.
Yes. I can't. It's not fun if he's going to shoot him back that quickly.
Well,
what former Grizzlies Summer League star was number four?
Selby.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, if you told me, like, names, I would have told, but it's like, yeah, that's hard to know.
Ohio State.
Jared Sullinger.
Okay. This exercise is not fun. You're too good
at it. I do not have it pulled up.
No, you don't. That's in class, you know pretty well. Ennis Cantor. Tristan Thompson.
Wow.
Husband, father of Chloe's children.
How about that? Out of Canada, too.
Still playing.
Still going. That's amazing.
Now, Will's done, is he not? I saw him working out the other day with Wiseman and them.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, no, he's not.
But he hasn't put his papers in.
I don't think he's put his papers in.
So he's hoping to get back in.
He was overseas, wasn't he?
Probably.
Because I think he got traded. So now he is at – he plays for the Cangrejeros de Santurce.
I'm going to put some more respect on that.
Santurce of the Baloncesto Superior National. I don't know. I don't know. Is he in Spain? Is that what that is?
Baloncesto?
Yeah, Baloncesto. It looks like Spain.
I believe that's Spanish.
It's actually Puerto Rico.
It's still Spanish.
Bro, you got to hang it up if you're going to Puerto Rico to play professionally. Like, just send in the papers. You've had a long career. You make lots of money. But is that where Boogie is? And didn't Boogie go to Puerto Rico?
Bro, you the Boogie reporter around here.
No, not Boogie Ellis. Boogie Cousins.
No, I thought he was over in perhaps China or something.
No, bro. I think he did the Dominican or Puerto Rico, man.
Well, who's keeping up with Boogie Cousins? Y'all should put him in 3-on-3 in the Olympics with the other. Than that, I'm not checking for Boogie.
Yeah, that's what it was. He played for the Guaynabo Mets.
You're amazing with your photographic memory.
No, it's actually stupid how much dumb stuff I remember.
Yeah, I was going to say that would count as just random trivia type stuff. Where is DeMarcus Cousins now? Jalon Kendrick, number 22 on that 2010 list. Oh, what a class it was from Memphis.
Oh, yeah, Jalon, man. What a crazy career he had. Yeah, no, I mean, one of the things, like, we had this great piece.
Appreciate that question, too.
Bear Media wrote up about us. Dave Green happened to tune in and listen. You know, on a random day. And I wish he would tune in on a day like this where we're reminiscing. We're in our absolute bag talking about Joe Jackson, Jason in the locker room back in the day. And now he's lost his allegiance to Joe in favor of A-Lo hitting a three in a pro-am. I mean,
I would say that, no, I've answered the question. A-Lo was more, fans were tougher on him.
You don't think they were tougher on Joe for real?
Joe, I'm not going to lie. You have to set it to the side. But I wished big things for Joe. Like, I rooted for Joe. How could you not? I had watched him at White Station and just coming up. You see this kid coming up as a freshman. As a freshman! He's on the scene. He's taking big shots. Like, who is this kid? You know, coming out of Orange Mound, acting like he's already the best thing in town, and then backing it up. And then, you know... the whole recruitment and wanting him to stay, you know, hoping that Memphis can retain a guy like that, set aside the fact that, you know, with it came, you know, sort of that coverage of Joe in that class 2010, came that opportunity from the paper to cover the Tigers team. I was just rooting for him. Hey, when you get to state and you're playing against the team from the other side of the state, now a lot of time you'd have all Memphis AAA finals or whatever, you know, Melrose, White Station, but you're playing the other side of the state, of course you're rooting for the Memphis guy. And how could you not have rooted for Joe, you know, early on? He seemed like he was... you know, trying to defeat the world.
Right.
And you wanted to jump on his back with him because it felt like he could carry you in the entire city. And you wanted that at Memphis as a admirer and lover of the Memphis history of point guards, homegrown. In most of those instances, you wanted that to continue. And so I won't lie. Like, I rooted for Joe in addition to covering him and having to ask him some tough questions sometimes.
Yeah.
That was part of the job. But, dude, I was rooting for him in a way that, again, different because I didn't cover every year of Lomax going through high school. I, you know, moved on to everything else, and so there wasn't that. So I hadn't talked to him after every loss or win or whatever else, and so there wasn't that kind of connection. I will never lose that sort of that love I always have for, man, Joe Jackson, King of Memphis.
Yeah.
That Joe Jackson.
Yeah. We do have, by the way, some news on the current team. Now, they know that they're going to Maui.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that, you know, one of the things that's kept you up at night is you wondered what side of the bracket they were going
to
be on.
Very much so. And they're going to give it to Memphis tough is what they're going
to
do.
You wanted to know.
Because they're going to give it to UConn and those other and North Carolina easier.
Right. You want to know, like, what?
Do you have it?
Oh, I got it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got it.
I haven't checked Twitter yet, so I'm going to let you.
And I'm wondering, should I tease this joint? We have the bracket. We have the first-round matchup for Memphis in the Maui. And
I already know it's tough.
And you asked
Jason. I already know it's tough.
Jason asked the question, was it tough? Was it tough? I'll tell you how tough it is when we get back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.